Welcome to Season 2 of the Let's Check In podcast, a place where cultural icons and frontline experts share how they navigate life's wobblier seasons. I'm your host, Susie McAvale. Let's check in. Are you navigating the demands of a busy job while trying to be present to your family? Or maybe you have someone close to you who is. Balancing careers with the joys and challenges of raising kids in today's fast-paced world certainly is no easy feat. Today's guest, Lachie Gillespie, the Purple Wiggle, knows this journey well. For 13 years, he's been a face that brings joy to millions of children. But behind the purple skivvy, he's also embracing the rewarding and sometimes overwhelming experience of fatherhood himself. In this episode, Lachie shares the lessons he's learnt along the way, from life on stage with the Wiggles to raising twins and a stepson, and how understanding what other parents go through makes him a stronger dad. Get ready for an insightful conversation about the trying but rewarding journey of balancing career and family life. Lachie, so excited to have you here. Thanks so much for being here today on the Let's Check In podcast.
Thank you, Susie, very much. Nice to be here.
Awesome. Look, I'm not going to lie. My number one objective today is to ensure that you do not fall asleep during this conversation.
I will not fall asleep, although I feel like it. Not right now.
Good to hear. So let's kick off. You've spent years making kids smile and bringing joy to families, so I'm pretty fascinated to find out how a Wiggle actually approaches parenting in their own home. What are your top three parenting principles that really guide you, I guess, in your parenting style?
Yeah, I think one thing I think I'm quite natural at is just having fun at home. So I think fun would definitely be a word. I think just connection, I'm so aware of being away quite a lot for work. The girls are of an age now where they say how much they miss me, which is really hard when I'm away. So I know I'm lucky with Wiggles that I can go to Sydney, work really hard and come home and not really have to look at my phone at all, which I think is a really big one. So definitely connection. The girls just want me there when I'm home. And then just a big amount of love too is what I love, especially with my stepson. He wants to play tackle and the girls are the same. I think they picked up on that. So,
and the girls are four, aren't they?
They're four.
They're beautiful ages.
Oh, it's a wonderful age.
It's really challenging, traveling a lot and holding a family. Traveling and being on stage with the Wiggles is a huge commitment and so pivotal to the role. How do you balance both the demands of performing on stage with being that present parent and hands-on father and husband at home?
Yeah, that's been a really interesting experience. And I think our Wiggle podcast has actually brought that out of Anthony, which I find fascinating because we've had some really great chats about him being a parent. His kids are older now and he's now come full circle to spending a lot more time with them because we don't travel as much as what they did. The originals back in the day were going to America three times a year for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. So they were hardly home. And he looks back on that with young kids and he admits that he wasn't there a lot and how hard that was. And I think talking about it now with a podcast and having our own kids, Simon and I have kids that are about the same age, he's now been able to look back on that and go, oh, wow, like we're doing it differently to him. But it's a real tricky challenge. Every family has their challenges and that's ours. What I like to think, and I can see this in the girls, is that they just get so much joy out of what I do. And I explain to them where I'm going and what we're doing. So I think that helps in that communicating with them what I'm doing early before I go away for a tour or shows this weekend in Melbourne. I explain to them, I've just got a few more weekends of shows and then we'll have a nice break together. So I think communication's so important. I don't know if it makes it any easier, but I think that really helps. And I hope they're okay with it in the long run. But they get so much joy out of it. They love Wiggles. They particularly like all the girls in the group and their Wiggles are so good with children. And Anthony's daughter, Lucia, has really taken to them and she's fantastic with them. So it brings them so much joy.
Yeah. And do they sometimes travel with you?
A little bit. They've got their routine. They've got a great little kindy they go to and Jasper started school, so we can't take him out all the time.
Sure.
So yeah, it's not all the time and there's a lot of time away, but that's just how it goes for our family at the moment.
Parenting really is one of the toughest things that people can ever do, but one of the most rewarding. How have the ups and downs really brought you closer to your kids, especially as they start to grow up?
I think showing families that showing your kids that working is important is a really nice thing. I think they'll grow to respect that and be able to see what it means to do something you love, but also work really hard at it. And I really like that. But it's a really tricky balance to get right. But I do think that's really important. And we're fortunate that Dana doesn't have to work as much at the moment. She's had a wonderful career doing ballet down here in Melbourne and retired so we could have more time with the kids. And I think that's really special. So they've got mummy at home all the time, which is so lovely.
I'm guessing that would be really advantageous, having a partner who's also been in performing arts. She understands what it's like to be on the road and traveling all the time.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. She's been so wonderful and so supportive of Wiggles. And as I was with her career, she could have stopped after having the girls, but yeah, she didn't want to. So we made that work, and she was so happy to finish her career after the girls and go back to see what that was like after having twins and then dancing again. So she got a few more years after that, which was just so special.
Wow. Yeah. Do you guys have any inkling that you were going to have twins before you did have twins?
No, there's none in the family. We had absolutely no idea. Oh. We got told it wasn't going to be easy to have a child at all. So that was interesting. And then the first little scan, there they were.
Wow, gosh. I don't even know how you navigate like holding two in your arms.
It was all an experience.
I bet it was.
Just everything about twins is so special, but it's
intense,
been
intense, hey?
Yeah, incredibly intense in patches, absolutely.
And did they wake up at the same time? Did you feed them at the same time?
Dana, in her personality, and we laugh about this all the time, but there was no possible way that for her that the twins weren't going to feed and wake up and just be on a very tight schedule. There wasn't going to be another way to start with. And then they were pretty good. Yeah, of course, they wake up at different times in patches when they were little.
Yeah.
But they're still really consistent now. And I think that's been because Dana put such a wonderful thing in place and has tried to continue that through. But yeah, they're really good sleepers. They sleep in the same bedroom. They wake up together and you hear them chatting.
The bond that comes with twins is pretty beautiful, isn't it?
They fight a lot in such a funny way. You just watch and laugh at them. What are you doing? But also, they are so close, and I love that for them. It's really, that's such a special bond that they'll never not have.
Isn't that gorgeous? Life is full of uncertainty, and that's the topic of the Let's Check In podcast. In 2020, you and Dana had twin girls, like we were talking about, Lulu and Lottie, gorgeous names. The first few days for you both, though, were pretty confronting as you navigated time in the premature neonatal unit. What got you and Dana through those first few uncertain days that would have been extraordinarily challenging for you both?
Yeah, look, that was during COVID, and that was a totally uncertain time for everybody. We were here and we had a wonderful obstetrician who was immune compromised. So then he had to say he couldn't follow us through. That was quite early on. So then we had to see someone else, but then we made the tricky decision because we were going to be stuck here without any family support at all, because we were just here by ourselves. We got an exemption to get up to Brisbane to have the babies quite late. Like, we were in hotel quarantine for 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
And Dana was 33 weeks pregnant. And they, of course, said, you can call us and get out if you need to.
Yeah.
But we didn't have to, and had the girls up in Brisbane to have some family support. And then we're here for the first 6 weeks of their lives, but Jasper was down here with his dad. So that was really tricky. So the whole thing was uncertain. We were very lucky that the girls were okay. There was a little heart issue that they weren't sure about, that they could never quite get great readings throughout the pregnancy. So we just said they'd have ECGs when they were born to just check everything. That was all okay. So we were only in for a few days. I did quite a bit of work with the Running for Premature Babies Foundation, but the work the NICU do, there were little babies that were there for months while we were there. There always is. Like, they are tiny. Our girls were just there for a week to make sure everything was okay, and then we were able to go home. But yeah, the work the NICU do and the staff there are just amazing. But it was very uncertain. We weren't sure, first of all, the hearts were going to be okay. They were. And then we're at home with twin girls.
Two girls who you're running after now.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Mm. And you've done some advocating for prem babies and with supporting the technology that it takes to be in those neonatal units. Do you want to share a little bit about that and your run?
Yeah, I met Sophie Smith at one of the Australia Day functions that she was nominated for quite a few years ago. And she got in contact after that event saying, well, you're purple and our colour's purple and you've had premature babies. Would you like to be an ambassador? Oh. I said, of course I would. And you Sophie's story, and I don't know if you're aware of any of it, but you can't help but get emotional. She lost her triplets, I think it was about 18 years ago, before any of the equipment was available. They probably would have had a lot better chance of surviving. They were tiny, so they may not have still, but they would have had a lot better chance. And then her husband died as well a few years after that. She is so strong, and she has stepped down from being fully in charge of the foundation now, but she's still there every day. She drives it. She has single-handedly supported hospitals all over Australia with the equipment. Sydney Hospital is full of the equipment that's been donated by how much money they've made for running for Prem.
She's clearly doing some incredible work, yeah. Hey? Making some pretty amazing changes. As relatively new dads navigating the toddler journey, Wiggle Talk is a new podcast that you and Red Wiggle, Simon Price, have created for parents. Yeah. You've mentioned wanting to learn alongside listeners as well. How has hosting this podcast and connecting with others really helped you grow, I guess, in your own parenting journey?
We've had so much fun. We've had so many laughs and also got quite emotional a lot. I mean, we're emotional because we're new dads anyway. We're hopeless, both of us. But yeah, we've said that all along. We didn't know what to expect. We talk about it at work a lot, like what is going on and what's going on with Asher this week, his little boy, and are your girls doing the same? And we compare all the time. And of course, being away too, we get each other like that. And then we've been able to get some fantastic guests. But every week we learn something new. Simon's joked that every time he does a podcast, he goes home to Lauren, his wife, and Lauren's, oh, what are we changing this week? With something someone said that's really good. But we've said from the start that we're just wanting to learn with our listeners. And I think it's really engaged with people, and we love doing it. It's been great. People talk about it in the street when they stop you. It can be a very touchy thing, talking about parenting and trying different ways. And so it's got a mixed feedback in some chats, but I think that's a good thing too. I think all we're really trying to do is have a conversation. We're not saying what that expert says is exactly what everyone needs to do. It's just what it is. And yeah, having a chat about parenting and how tricky it is. So many of the guests we've had on say exactly the same thing. It's just tricky. And there's this common thread of like connection and connecting with your children, and it just goes through everything. Mm. Every single chat we have, it just comes back down to that.
Yeah.
Really.
Which I can understand why. I think our first question is one of your philosophies around how you actually engage with your kids. How do you foster that sense of connection? And definitely music does that, doesn't it? It is a binding agent.
People ask all the time why the Wiggles are still going. And I think originally the four guys, they were, Anthony was a preschool teacher. So for him, it was, he had 25 kids that he had to connect with. Mm. And he said he learned so many lessons then about how to get everyone's attention. Obviously, music is such a game changer in that you can pick up a guitar or just sing them a song just with your voice.
Yeah.
That is the biggest part of the Wiggles. It's fun for adults to listen to as well as children. They always spoke like they were just speaking to one child and connecting in that way. We use the language that we would if we were talking to one child to really grab their attention. That's really important, and I think a key to why the Wiggles are still working. We've learned that across the time, on live stage and on camera as well, how to get better at that. But yeah, I think that's just so important and a big part of why it's
still
really
going strong. Mm. Yeah. And I'm picking up that the authentic connection between you guys yourselves actually is really strong too.
It is, particularly the last few years with the eight Wiggles has been the most creative and connected time I think we've had as a group. And the audience, I think the audiences see that and they feel that. You can see it on camera, but it comes across on a live stage too. And I think, yeah, it's been so fun.
So I'm intrigued. Did you guys know each other before you stepped onto stage together?
No, I'd hardly met Anthony when I did. I was with the Dorothy the Dinosaur show for 4 years before I moved up to Wiggles.
Yeah.
So I'd only seen him a handful of times. And it was like, oh my goodness, there's anything. So that's,
holy moly.
We've got to a point now where Simon and I joke now that we literally finish each other's sentences or have the same thoughts. And I think that's from being together for 13 years.
Yeah.
The podcast has helped that too. But we just joke even on stage the other day, we both had exactly the same thought at exactly the same time. And the three of Anthony, Simon and I have got that now where Anthony's a lot of the time over the other side of stage. And I just have to look at his eyes and know exactly what, if he's going to change a song or musically, if we're changing something in the middle of a song, we're connected like that. And I love that as a performer. That takes so much time. You cannot teach that in a rehearsal. You've just got to spend time and do that. So we've got that. And I think naturally, speaking about Lucia before, but Lucia Sahai, John and Katarina's been a big part of the Wiggles for 20 plus years. So she's naturally got that too. She's just stepped up to being a wonderful red wiggle. So hi, John and Lucia are just such wonderful people. And Anthony's so good at that. He finds people that are going to be the right fit. And they've just got such a wonderful energy with children. They're so natural, even though they're quite young. So yeah, that just comes across, I think. You've got to have that level of care for what we do. The authentic connection with your audience, which is what Wiggles has always had. There's never any fakeness or I don't want to be here. This is so important.
It sounds like you guys have a bit of intuition with one another too.
Yeah, we've got that now, which is pretty cool.
It is, isn't it?
It is. It's so fun.
And it is a skill. I think it's a real skill to be able to identify people who have shared values and then bring them into a group.
Definitely.
That's really the binding agent, isn't it? Like if you get the right people, it can just create situations that are unimaginable.
And we spend so much time together, so you have to.
Yeah, well, this is it, exactly.
It's a wonderful group of people.
Sounds like so much fun. We're just going to move to the topic of sleep, and I know you know a lot about that one yourself as Purple Wiggle. It's no surprise that sleep is one of the strongest predictors of mental resilience. Ironically, bedtime can be really one of the most challenging times for parents. What are some of the most effective bedtime rituals that you put to use, you and Dana, yourself with the twins and Jasper?
Yeah, it's such a tricky thing, isn't it? Everyone has a different view on whatever works. Obviously, I'm absolutely not an expert at all, but what we've done with our girls, there had to be a routine. We still play the same music on the iPad. It's a mixture of white noise and little just piano lullabies, which now after 4 years you put on, you can almost feel the girls just sink just a little bit without even looking at them. As soon as you press that button, that comes last. Dana and I have different routines and we know that in each other and we allow that to happen. Dana's obviously, when she's home more, it's just more concise. The kids are great sleepers and I think she's just set them up so beautifully. But obviously when I get home, there is a little bit more fun, maybe one or two more extra stories. I can't help but have a cuddle with them and give them tickles, which they just love, and because I don't get to do that all the time. So it does change, but I think they know that now. And I think that's the positive of having a really solid thing in place for consistency. So then they know, okay, well, look, Daddy's home, and I say to them, this is going to be a little bit different. We can have a bit more cuddles and a bit more time and one extra book. But they know that then when it goes back to mummy, it's just a bit more simplified. But yeah, bath time is always hectic and fun. But then once they're in the room, we've always tried to make their bedroom a really fun place. Early on, I don't think I read something really great where it was spend time in the room that's not just for sleep, like play in the room and do some fun things in the room. So the bedroom's a really relaxing, fun place, and which I think's really helpful. And the girls now pick a bed each night to change which bed we're reading the story in. So there's always some stories before bed and they always want more.
But always.
Yeah. It's just really simple. Then the music goes on and I lie with them a bit, but normally just like a tuck in, little back tickle. And then they ask if they can call out. So just so they know where we are, which is nice. But they're good once they're in the room and we just don't pull the door shut. We just close it for light. They have a little night light and then they call out a few times, like, love you, or see you in the morning. And then they're off to sleep pretty consistently. So that's where that works for us. I've always been a good sleeper, Dana not so much. So that's interesting in itself, but sleep is so important. You can see in children just how much it affects them if they've had a really quality night's sleep or if they've been broken because they're a little bit run down. It's just one of those hard things, isn't it? If you get that mental thing in your head, if you're not sleeping well, and it makes it even harder. There's definitely an importance of trying to relax and just not overthink it, I think.
Yeah. That's true. Mindfulness and meeting yourself at where you're at, because very easily you can go to, oh no, I'm not sleeping. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and I have to be up at 6:30 or 6 o'clock or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then your mind starts to race.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. And adults struggle with it too. So it's such a strong predictor for resilience. Parenting requires emotional resilience, but sometimes we adults, we have big feelings too. How do you navigate helping your kids with their emotions when you might be dealing with your own challenging feelings yourself?
Yeah, we had a Jen Muir on the podcast the other week. Jen's a Sydney-based mother of four. She doesn't call herself a parenting expert at all. She's an educator. Mm-hmm. We had some fascinating chats with her and very much about connection and how important that is. But adults do have such big feelings and that's perfectly normal. And I think children need to see that or understand that mummy and daddy are finding this hard too. And again, about communicating, and you can have that if you'd find that, if you're in that massive moment of you feel like you're just about to explode, you're just planting your 2 feet on the floor, put your hand on your heart and just do like this pause and breathe and reset yourself. And again, I think really nice for kids to see that. It's not always easy. There are some tricky times at home every day when you've got one child or multiple children. I think you can go through that together with your children and have that
honesty, maybe.
Yeah, you can, yeah. I think. And it doesn't always help, but I think it's good to explain it that way without over-explaining and having to go into everything. It's just like, we're all finding this really hard at the moment. The other day, Dana told me a story which was so interesting because we're trying to try a few different things and see what clicks. And Dana picked her girls up from kindy and had their end of year party and little viewing session with the parents. And then the parents had to leave, which was actually really hard because the kids aren't used to that. They're just used to getting dropped off. Yes. The parents stayed for longer. But then at pickup, there was a little lollipop. Dana didn't want them to have a lollipop straight after kindy. So she said no, and Lulu absolutely lost it, like lost it, and for a long time. And they got home and Dana just explained to them, we're not having a lollipop now. I don't know how long later, an hour and a half later, once Lulu had calmed down, she said, I don't want you to go away this weekend. Lulu had already had in her head ready. It wasn't about the lollipop at all. It was about her getting ready in her head that it's getting close to the time that we're going away just for the weekend, even though they were so excited to go to their grandparents' house. But yeah, it was all about that. When she finally calmed down and reset, and it was about mummy going, which was great.
Yeah.
It just shows how many things are going on.
And that what they're processing, sometimes we assume they might be thinking, it might be something completely different. They might not have articulated to us.
No.
Yeah.
Because they can't yet. And it was they're taken out on the poor lollipop.
Yeah. What a blessing that actually it came out though.
Yes.
And you got to the bottom of it.
And I think you can positively see how much that does work. Just trying to get down on their level. And some kids you just have to wait for and I mean, it's really hard when a child's in the middle of a massive tantrum for anyone because Lulu has always been quite emotional. It's just she's got that cry and that scream. So that's really hard to get through anyway. We're getting there.
It's no easy feat having twins. I'm really interested to know, do your kids listen to The Wiggles?
Yeah, they love it.
And do they watch you on TV?
Yes. They go through the different shows that they like, but yeah, they've always loved Wiggles.
So
and they
good.
Sing around the house now. Dana filmed them the other day playing by themselves and just singing a Wiggle song together that they'd heard. They're just sitting there playing and both singing, which I just love. I'm not going to push them into singing at all. They can do whatever they want, but I love that singing's a part of the house.
We touched on this before, but I'm interested to hear, you see it every day with how music transforms people and transforms kids and the connection between families. How important is music and how does it help in navigating real challenging moments that everyone has and faces?
Yeah, I think you can just break it up. I don't mean to always talk about the podcast, but because we're learning so much too, but we had a music expert on from America early on. And one of her big points was she does music classes, but you don't have to be a singer. As a mum and dad, you don't have to have really any musical ability. It can be as simple as clapping your hands and doing like a little chant or a little nursery rhyme that you remember. It can be so effective in just breaking the cycle or getting a child to just snap out of something and it can be so enjoyable too. It's such a fun thing to just change it up, let alone what it does to your emotions and how it makes you feel. Music's so special like that.
Yeah.
It makes different people feel completely different things. Like how amazing is music?
Yeah. Your background in music, presuming you started at an early age, did you?
Yeah, I played piano when I was little. I mean, I love piano and more music theatre to start with after school. But then, I really can't see myself doing anything else but children's music. I just love it. It suits my style of writing and performing.
It must be energizing to be around such fun all the time.
Yeah, people say we do 4 shows a day a lot.
Wow.
This week we've got 3 in one day and then 2 the next. But people always ask, how do you possibly do that over a 6-day week? And as soon as you get out to stage, there's something so special about it. Parents and children watching a show. We never take it for granted. A lot of the time it's the kids' first show, the lights and the stage, and let alone when Dorothy runs out and they're like, what is happening? This is wild. It's such a cool experience for most of them. Some children find it a bit confronting at first, just the whole scale of it. You can't help but have fun for the hour. That's the easy, the travelling's the tiring bit. As soon as the show starts, it's just, this is the the best.
That's awesome. Every parent faces challenges, but is there a particular situation that's really tested you as a dad? And really, how did you overcome that?
One of my biggest challenges is just not being able to get home enough, but having a stepson's been the most, particularly before I had my own children, has been just so beautiful. Jasper and I are so close, and I know how much Dana loves that. And we were driving up the coast for a little holiday in Brisbane. We stopped at the BP and I took Jasper into the bathrooms, and at that point he really wanted to flush the toilet. Like, really, I just went into like germ freak mode and didn't let him. And I just flushed it first because I didn't want him to touch it. And oh my gosh, absolutely lost it. Was on the floor, which is even worse.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh no, please don't. And guys walking in all over the place. Eventually I just had to pick him up and get him out. And then the looks I got, not from being a wiggle, but just the looks I got taking, he was ripping my face and hitting me, and he was just in a trance. I got really shaken. I got really upset. Dana was getting drinks or something. I just took him straight to the car and had to put him in his seat. And eventually on the rest of the drive, he fell asleep and woke up, and we had a real big chat about, but that will always be in my memory as like just so intense. I've always treated him as my own anyway. We're that close, but he'd obviously trusted me enough in that whole experience. But at the time it was so awful. I was thinking, what are people thinking? Are they thinking I'm taking him? Like, it was just all happening all at once, and it was brutal. Yeah, it was fun. Every time we drive past that, we never stop at that service station anymore. We just, there it is.
Yeah. That sounds like a good idea. And it sounds like what you did later when he woke up is talk about it, which has been key to what you've been sharing today, communication and connection. We know how good that feels as adults when we talk about things and get things off our chest, and how much of a relief that can feel. So to be able to model that and do that with our kids, you hit the nail on the head.
There was one more. Can I tell you one more?
Please do.
With Jasper again, we had the best boys trip. He came on a tour of Darwin with us on Wiggle shows. I said, I'll take you on a tour. And he still talks about it. He loved it so much. We had about 4 or 5 nights in different hotels. One hotel we only just got into. I don't know if he had a dream or, but a bedroom was in one room, obviously, and then sliding doors and then a little living area. But the hotel front door to the room was quite dingy, and it just opened from the inside. It didn't have a lock on the inside that stopped it from. So it just opened when you pulled it. We're sleeping in the same bed, and so he was next to me. I'm quite a deep sleeper, but I woke up to a noise, and I look, and Jasper's not there. I panic. There was a bathroom to the side, but I didn't check there first. I went, something made me go out, and I think because the sliding door was more open than I remembered it. In that room, no Jasper. I'm like, what is? Then I just went to the front door and opened the front door, and he was standing there looking back at me, and talking to me. I'm like, what are you doing? He sort of just mumbled. I'm like, how can I tell Dana that I've literally lost Jasper in the middle of the night? So many thoughts through my head. And then I went back to bed. I did not sleep the rest of the night. I think I put my hand on his leg to make sure. I'm like, and then woke up in the morning, told him, he had absolutely no idea.
Oh, he's sleepwalking.
Yeah, but what if he'd walked down the hall?
Totally.
And just turned or something, and
I would have
missed him.
It was.
Oh, that's wild.
It was.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That was so intense. I got to the work the next day and I told everyone at work, and they were like, what? Well, you can laugh now because he was just there. But I don't know why, if he knew to come back in or if he was just, didn't know where. So many questions.
Whoa. Yeah. And the moral of the story is you never stayed in another accommodation without a lock on the inside.
Well, yeah,
of the
put
door.
Something in front of the door.
Yeah.
Or. Yeah.
A chair, a table,
yeah,
anything.
Something that makes bigger noise than just what that little door made. But oh my goodness.
Oh, that's stressful.
It was really stressful.
And I really hope that wasn't like a 1 o'clock wake up that took you into.
I didn't even know what time it was, but I messaged Dana the next morning and said, I'm just going to tell you something good. It's all good. And he's right here with me.
Oh dear. Now, this is our very last question that we ask every single one of our guests. In the spirit of being vulnerable and sharing about how we're all feeling, what are you feeling uncertain about at the moment, and how are you best supporting yourself?
Being completely honest, I think this year's been a really wonderful year for Wiggles in the terms of we've consciously made an effort to film more content. So we've been at home a lot more. Home in Sydney, so not home with my kids. It's just been a really lovely year. We're just so used to traveling a lot overseas. So it's been a really nice year for me personally, and I think for Simon, Anthony too, just to not go out again. But, you know, next year we've got a really big year planned, including the UK and America. I'm really looking forward to it. But that always makes me just quite anxious, particularly now with the family. I didn't think about it as much. Of course, I miss Dinah a lot before the kids were there and being papa. And I know that's been a common thread in this chat is being away, but that's just our thing. But that does make me really quite upset. It's so far away. Touring is so fun and seeing families, and especially overseas when we haven't been there for a while, there's so much excitement. And once we're there, it's always okay. So I just have tried to talk to Dana lots about that, and I won't talk to the kids yet because it's next year in the middle of the year. I'm just quite honest with myself and just try to be calm even though I'm feeling some big feelings. But I think I'm hard on myself and realistic and take one day at a time really and just try not to think about it. And now I've got a great holiday coming up, and again, just connecting with everyone while we're together and think about it a bit later.
Being in the present helps, doesn't it? As you say, like grounding the feet, sitting in the moment. And, but yeah, it is. It's totally fair and reasonable. I mean, we all do it. We all get ahead of ourselves and think about what's coming up and what we might be feeling trepidation about. But I think something for me and what you've spoken about is being really honest and transparent and communicating and just articulating your feelings and knowing that in your relationships you can do that openly and they can feel open to do that too.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Thank you, Lockie. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for tuning in. If you're juggling family life or know someone who is, be sure to check out the Wiggle Talk podcast, your go-to place for real stories and support on navigating the challenges of parenthood. Thanks so much for your time, Lockie. I'm absolutely stoked that we didn't have to wake you up.
I know. Thank you. Thanks, Heath. Thanks so much.
Thanks for checking in with me today. So you never miss an episode, hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen. If today's episode resonated, share it with someone who's navigating their own wobbly season. Find and follow us across Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Let's Check In Podcast. This podcast is not a licensed mental health service, and it is not a substitute for professional mental health advice. If something has come up for you in this episode, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.